Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you for being here present at the conference today. I'm Jay Bybee. I'm a judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals, and I'm very pleased to be with you. This is the first time that I have attended the conference at BYU, and I have been very impressed. I came in yesterday afternoon and attended sessions yesterday afternoon, including the breakout sessions, and attended this morning's session. I thought it was a very provocative and interesting discussion, and appreciate BYU for inviting me to be a part of this. Okay, all right, how about that? We are going to continue the discussion that we began this morning with a discussion of how courts deal with tensions between religious and other human rights. We have two distinguished panelists with us today. I'm going to introduce both of them now. First, we have Rana Arnaout. Judge Arnaout is a former judge of the Magistrate Court, Judicial Council of Madaba Court, a first instance in Jordan. She received her law degree in 1999. For the next 9 years, she was a practicing lawyer. That was in Jordan. In Jordan. And then became a judge, magistrate judge, in 2010. She is currently an LLM candidate here at the J. Reuben Clark Law School at BYU, and will be working this next year at the law firm of Curtin McConkie in Salt Lake City. In talking with her this morning, I learned that she may be here for a little bit longer because her husband has been admitted to the law school at BYU. So yeah. Congratulations to them. We'll be hearing from Judge Arnaout in just a minute. We are also very pleased to have with us Milton Ray Guevara. Judge Guevara is the president of the Constitutional Tribunal of the Dominican Republic. He is the former dean of the law school at Pontificia Universidad Católica Madre y Maestra, previously served as ambassador from the Dominican Republic to England, Ireland, and Yugoslavia and other countries. He has served as Minister of Labor and served as a senator in the Dominican Republic. We are very pleased to have both Judge Arnaout and Judge Guevara with us. We will hear first from Judge Arnaout and then from Judge Guevara, and then we will take questions from you. So, Judge Arnaout.
Your Honors, Judges Bybee and Ray Guevara, delegates and guests of the symposium, it's an honor to join you today and appreciate your invitation to represent my country in this symposium. And I want to mention that I did graduate from this school, the LLM program, last April, and it was really a remarkable experience for me. My friends, since the discussion is about religion as one of the human rights, I would rather to give you a small introduction about the perspective of religion as a human right in Islam. Islam and other religions brought by the messengers of God not only include concepts of human rights and apply them, but they offer a deeper dimension and broader of human rights since these concepts exist before in the heavenly religions. As Islam acknowledged the freedom of belief and choosing the religion, founding the general rule of there is no compulsion in religion, there is no conflict between the concept of human rights and religion as a human right. On the contrary, Islam encourages the work of mind, and Islam emphasizes the freedom of thought so qualified in activated human mind. Islam didn't lose sight of human rights. On the contrary, we can find in Quran the same principles that the Universal Declaration of Human Rights have. For example, the Quranic verse, O mankind, and it's a translation, O mankind, fear your Lord, who created you from one soul and created from it its mate and dispersed from both of them many men and women. And this is the same of Article 1 of the Universal Declaration. All human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. The Sharia, which is the Muslim's religious law, is concerned to save the five constituents of the human being: religion, soul, mind, progeny, and possessions. These concerns are for the benefit of all people and protecting them. In Jordan, the formal sources of the Jordanian law are the legislation, the Islamic jurisprudence, which can be explained as an expansion of the Sharia Islamic law based directly on the Quran and Sunnah that complements the Sharia with evolving rules and interpretations of the Islamic jurists. The Sharia's provisions also is one of the legislation sources, the custom and the rules of justice. When we say the religion of the state is Islam in Jordan, that doesn't mean that other religions are oppressed On the contrary, in the Jordanian constitution, the state shall safeguard the free exercise of all forms of worship and religious rights in accordance with the customs observed in the kingdom. As an example for that, the Jordanian constitution took care of the other religions need to have their own schools. It states congregations shall have the right to establish and maintain their own schools for the education of their own members, provided that they comply with the general provisions of the law and be subject to the control of government in matters relating to their curricula and orientation. In addition, they have their own courts that the Constitution granted to them, and the Constitution explained all that, and it states, the religious courts shall be divided into the Sharia courts, the tribunals of other religious communities. The tribunals of religious communities are those for the non-Muslims religious communities which have been or will be recognized by the government as established in the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. The religious courts have jurisdiction over the matters of personal status, and this includes most family law matters such as marriage, divorce, child advocacy, child custody and adoption, guardianship, and waqf. And I explained the waqf by the Islamic charity. Sharia Muslim religious law applies to Muslims in these areas, and the Sharia court system exists to adjudicate disputes. Various Christians' religious councils within the main Christian sects, including Greek Orthodox, Roman Catholic, and Armenian Catholic, handle similar cases involving members of their church communities. The civil courts administer cases of other religious groups, including Protestant, usually applying the religious law of the closest religion community. I want to talk about the tolerance in Jordan of religions. The Jordanian National Charter, which was adopted in June 1999, highlights the commitment of Jordanian authorities to protect the rights, integrity, and basic freedoms of the individual, as specified in the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And all other international treaties in this regard, furthermore, the Jordanian National Charter states that all Jordanian men and women are equal under the law and that there shall be no distinction between them in rights and obligations regardless of difference in race, language, or religion. Tolerance of religions is one of His Majesty King Abdullah's concerns and awareness, and we can understand its importance from His Majesty's remarks at the plenary session of the 68th United Nations General Assembly in New York. And here I quote, and I prefer to quote, in the last month, Jordan hosted more than 100 eminent Muslim scholars from around the world. Their work affirms the true teachings of Islam and builds on Jordan's long-standing interfaith and intra-religion initiatives, which are the Amman Message, a Common Word, and World Interfaith Harmony Week. The scholars said that there is no single prescribed model for an Islamic state, but they affirmed that the modern Islamic state should be a civic state founded on institutions and with an inclusive constitution based on the rule of law, justice, and freedom of opinion and faith. The modern Islamic state should uphold equality across the ethnic and religious spectrum. The scholars decisively condemned the incitements of ethnic and sectarian conflict. They recognize this evil for what it is, a threat to the Muslim world and indeed all the humans. Jordan has called upon the Organization of Islam Cooperation to adopt these recommendations, which are critical guidelines and principles amid the turbulence and transformations across our region. This month, we in Jordan also convened an international meeting to address challenges to Arab Christian communities. They are an essential part of our region's past, present, and future. Jordan has been a historic model for a coexistence and fraternity between Muslims and Christians. We will continue to do our utmost to protect our Arab Christian communities and morality, and we can call on all countries to join us. And this is the King's quote. After this brief review of the religion tolerance in Jordan, let us go through the judicial system in Jordan and legal resources for the religion as a human right, which as judges rely on to decide in our cases. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights states that everyone has the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. The Jordanian constitution also stated that Islam is the religion of the state, and the state shall safeguard the free exercise of all forms of worship and religious rights in accordance with the customs observed in the kingdom, unless such is inconsistent with public order or morality. The public order or morality have no set definition or criterion, and exposure to the public order or morality, which might be committed by exercising a form of worship and religious right, is not an easy subject to decide. On the contrary, it's the judge's duty to decide And in fact, we should look if it's inconsistent with the public order or morality, and this is the challenge. The criminal code sets different penalties for different acts of assaulting prophets of religions or attacking the places or for different religions, groups, or worship, or distributing other people gathered to worship. It sets a penalty for anyone who assaults other one's faith for his feelings toward his faith and publishing in any way what considered an assault to faiths and religions. All writings and every speech or action intended to assault or stirring up sectarian or racial strife or inciting conflict between sects considers also a crime in Jordan. In the Jordanian courts, a group of lawyers brought a suit in front of the court suing Google for the video it posted about Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him. This video has been assaulted the Prophet Muhammad, and now the courts in the hearing of the witnesses' testimonies. Tension between freedom and religion and other human rights might occur with when expressing the religion and faith, which might conflict with the freedom of speech as a human right. The courts in Jordan now are more open in understanding the freedom of speech, and they are practicing their role in applying those rights and ignoring any rule contradict with those rights. I want to mention one of the ruling. It's a very important one from the criminal court on May 2011. It suspended the application of illegal provisions in the penal code because they contradict with the provisions in the Constitution, which guaranteed freedom of expression and opinion. This precedent opened the door for other courts not to hesitate in suspending the application of provisions in a law if it contradicts with the human rights set in the Constitution. Other changes that courts have in when to apply the human rights conventions and treaties. The Jordanian Constitution sets that treaties and agreements which entail any expenditures to the treasury of the state or affect the public or private rights of the Jordanians shall not be valid unless approved by the parliament. And in no case shall the secret terms in a treaty or agreement be contrary to the other terms. The Jordanian Constitution doesn't have any articles set the position of and value of the international treaties and conventions after their publication in the Official Gazette. The Supreme Court in its decision clarified the confusion of when to apply the international treaties and conventions by saying the international conventions and treaties trust the national laws conflicting with them. This is the challenge for the courts in applying the treaties and conventions of human rights. As long as the national law setting the rules of the human rights issues, then the court can obliged to apply. But if the current laws doesn't mention the human rights, then judges can't apply those treaties, since the human rights treaties can't be applied unless it has been published in the Official Gazette or national law set the same rules that was in the treaties. In the Jordanian judiciary, according to the latest information, the application of international conventions and treaties, including human rights, is almost 156 till now from 1960 and contains criminal and civil cases and some administrative court, but I couldn't find any cases with religious issues. In 2011, Jordan established the Constitutional Court, which helps in supervising the constitution applications by other courts and considers a huge step towards developing the judicial work. And we are lucky for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Arnout. Judge Guevara.
Thank you very much. I am grateful to our moderator and Judge Arnuta. Good morning to all of you. I consider this a privilege and a blessing from God to have been invited to this conference in regards to religion and human rights at this university, Brigham Young. I would like to do a brief introduction before my intervention. In the Dominican Republic, our tribune was built in 2011. It was built and this was instituted in our constitution in January 26 in 2010. It started to work in January 2012, which means that we've only been working for a year and 10 months. We have not had an opportunity up until now, any case in which we have managed or treated any tensions between religion and human rights. However, there are dispositions in our Constitution that refer to this issue of the diversity of culture and conscience. It is important to point out that before the independence of our country, which was in February 27th in 1844, there had been a movement previous to the independence in July of 1838. And that movement was called the Trinity. And it had an oath which started under the holiness or Holy Trinity of God Omnipotent. In other words, it invoked God as the foundation of an oath of man who wanted to create and found the Dominican Republic. Therefore, in our current Constitution, in our preamble to our Constitution, it is in the name of God is invoked. In the 34th article, we establish a motto which says, God, country, and liberty, which means country and liberty have as support God. Also, in our 33rd article, when we speak of our national symbol in our flag, it is said that in the same we can see an open Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This does not mean that the Dominican Republic is not a confessional state, which what this means is without a doubt that its founders and those who continued Dominicanism have God as the center of their motives, as an inspiration to strengthen the Dominican nation through time and the centuries. In our country, in fact, the article number 44th and 45th establishes in categoric fashion that the state guarantees the freedom of conscience and worship with respect to good customs. All of this is underlined in the rights expressly recognized in our Carta Magna. Now let's point out that in our Constitution in 1844, we referred to the Catholic Church as the state's religion. And in our 208th article, that article talks about the President of the Republic in connection to this article. In 1865, the Dominican Constitution, although it maintained the character of the state, but it recognized the existence of other cults with the limitations that its manifestations could only be produced in their own temples. Now, there was a reform in 1877 in which they did not alter what I previously mentioned, but we added tolerance of worship. In 1907, Dominican Republic has had 39 constitutions, by the way, or one constitution, which was modified that many times. The constitution does not refer to to the Catholic religion as the national religion, but it confirms that relations with the Catholic Church will remain the same. It's not until 1908 when liberty of conscience and of worship, when we maintained the same relations with the Catholic Church in the terms mentioned before. When we reformed the Constitution in 1942, we added the suggestion to respect to public order and to appropriate traditions as an exercise to freedom of conscience and of worship. In our Constitution of 2010, there are no regulations regarding the content of these liberties, nor do we speak about religious freedom. What is true is that as a Dominican Republic, we have accepted human rights in the convention and the international pact between governments, all of which are links and are attached to the Dominican Republic, specifically regarding implications that come from the freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. There is no doubt that religious freedom has emphasis in our Constitution. And all the states have the obligation to observe it. In our Constitution, we say that our constitutional tribunes have to observe our Constitution to defend the order and to protect the fundamental rights, and that its decisions are definitive and irrevocable, and they constitute sets precedence to all the different powers in the state. Our Constitution has not have an occasion to pronounce itself relating to conflicts of rights where religion is involved. However, in our jurisprudence in the Dominican Republic, all of our courts and the judicial power have been pronounced or made declarations regarding issues involving religion. There is a sentence, number 6, in October 24th in 2008, which was submitted by the Supreme Power of Justice in the event of the eventuality against a resolution of Congress, which was approved it was approved in July 10th, 1954. In this occasion, the highest court, as it received the petition, declared the resolutions. I need to mention that our constitutional court does not have the right constitutionally to recognize or to not recognize new resources from the Concordato. In the Article 177 of our Constitution of 2010, which establishes that the court cannot revise the decisions, jurisdictional decisions that has acquired. The character is irrevocably judged before the Constitution, which was produced January 26, 2010. And in this case, since this is 2008, the court cannot touch this subject. This does not imply that we have not adopted the decisions that are relevant relating the exercise of religious freedom. For example, there is a disposition in the Dominican Republic which permits a law the civil effects of religious marriages, non-Catholic, and our 55th article disposes that religious marriages, without talking in a specific confession, will have civil effect in the terms which the law establishes. And that law followed the constitutional mandate in 198.11, which regulates religious marriages and its effects in the Dominican Republic. I should point out that this past August 28th, we celebrated the first religious marriage, non-Catholic, with civil effects. And these young couples belonged to the Jehovah's Witnesses. At this point, we continue to accredit the pastors from the different churches, be it Christian or evangelical, to be able to proceed and perform these religious marriages with civil implications. In 2010, our constitution in the Dominican Republic frees its citizens to choose to their own conscience whatever religious worship they want to carry with. It is important to point out that in a memo from the United States in 2012 regarding religious freedom in the Dominican Republic, they talk about the government should respect religious freedom, indicating the lack of existence of abuse and detriment of this right. In regards to the application of these sections to other groups, religious groups, separate from the Catholic Church, they say, although the process was oftentimes long, the government did not deny all the petitions that were made by these groups in that year. Other laws in the Dominican Republic talk about different aspects of religion and the implications in society. This is the case in Law 4400 in 2000, which establishes reading and biblical study in schools separate from the typical teaching methods. And this was by the Council of Evangelical Unity. Through this law, parents may choose between these two programs of biblical training. However, we must point out that another worthy point is the lack of implementation of this norm. The code of children, boys, girls, and young adults talks about the rights of these children to the liberty of thought, conscience, and religion. In relation to the written law, we lack a specific law, and it is sad that in this century in the Dominican Republic, all the different confessions and religious groups are still managed by law, by this old law, in regards to businesses and organizations without non-profit organizations. Now, we have mentioned in separate occasions that this is unacceptable in this time in the Dominican Republic. We must also add that in our there are dispositions which sanction the obstaculizations of the exercise of worship in our country, but it still maintains articles which sanction ministers of these critics, and it also prevents people from doing this in public. This is the case of the Article 2001 of the that in the exercise of their ministry, to participate in any kind of speech demeaning the laws and decrees and commandments of established law or any other act, they will be punished by prison. They'll be imprisoned by at least 3 months, up to 2 years, although this is not applied. However, this must be eliminated in the new amendment of our criminal code in the Dominican Republic. Let's remember that this code along with its modifications, comes from 1844, as it was adopted by the criminal code in France. So these and other issues make the Dominican Republic law a little more difficult, as there is no body to regulate the exercise of freedom of conscience and thought, and that any body that will respond to this issue worldwide. We must recognize the existence of initiatives, legislative initiatives, which is working to regulate this issue. This does not mean that to this date we don't have a law regarding religious freedom, which in other ways also regulates this right. The possibility of celebration according to collaboration in between different religions and other basic rights that the state must respect so that all of them can carry on with their work in a free way. I must mention that my person has been petitioning from inspiration that comes from Christianity, from my values and the values of the Dominican Republic, that God that can do everything and to whom we owe everything, that deep invocation to the Almighty God in the preamble of our Constitution, that book of the Gospels open in the very symbol of our nation, obligates our nation to invest in its faith. If it can invest in sports, culture, science, and technology, and in specifically talking about my country, I believe that the Dominican Republic is obligated to invest in faith. May God bless you, all of you. Thank you.
Our thanks to our panelists. We have a few moments for questions, and we'll take questions from the floor. We have a handheld microphone at both doors, and we'll have students moving those. And if you once you obtain the microphone, if you'd please stand and state your name and your country of origin. We have a question here.
I will speak in Spanish. Buenos días, soy Efraín.
Good morning, I'm Efraín Chávez from Mexico. And I would like to ask Judge Rana if in your country there is something called crimes of forced conversion that I believe or I understand that it is present in some Islamic countries, that it is sanctioned when someone it pretty much, you know, force someone to convert to another religion. And I also understand that in the practice they have been used to persecute many that they have been converted to Christianism. Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. We don't have a special version in our penal code or any code that there is a penalty for a conversion or forcing for conversion to another religion. And in application, this will go to the Sharia course. And Sharia course is something different from the civil courts. That will deal with the conversion. The Sharia court will maybe have some different rules for the people who convert from Islam, because it considers something not acceptable in Islam. But these things are not dealt in the civil courts as a human right, not in our country.
I saw a hand. I had a hand here, and then we'll take a question here.
This is for Judge Arnold. I was very struck by the phrase "modern Islamic State," which I think you said was in the in the Jordanian constitution. Could you, I mean, speaking personally and not necessarily as a judge, as a Muslim woman, say what? Could you unpack that a little? What does that convey, the word "modern" there, and why is it in the title? I mean, I could imagine what it might mean, but what does it mean for Jordanians?
Jordan, I want to clarify, it's different from Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia just applied the Sharia. This is the law, and there is no civil law. But in Jordan, we have civil law that comes from the codes and rules that the legislatures decide to put. And Sharia is only one, or let's say one of the sources of the legislature. So we apply the Islamic rules by applying the civil legislature, because it's one of the sources. Is that clear?
Yes, thank you. And clearly that is different from the original Egyptian constitution, which then got changed to the source.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah, we have many sources. One of them is just the Sharia, one of them is...
Thank you.
You're so much welcome.
We had a question here.
Janet at Buckingham from Canada. Yesterday when we had the judges panel, I believe they were all from common law countries, which means that the judges have some, they're deciding on the basis of precedent, and they have some latitude in how they interpret the law. I'm wondering if you can comment, as judges in civil law jurisdictions where you are dealing with codes, how much latitude you as judges have in interpreting those codes. And just a little, you know, for many of us, I'm from a common law jurisdiction, the U.S. is common law, Britain is common law. So if you could make any comments as to how your ability to interpret the law might be different as judges in civil law jurisdictions.
Is it for me?
For both of you.
For both of us? Okay, shall I start then? Do you want to start?
Allez-y.
Okay. As a civil law countries, there's a hierarchy for judges to rule in their decisions. We have to go through the constitutions at first, and then the legislations. And after that, the Sharia rules. And then, after applying all that, we can go to the precedents from the Supreme Court. So when we are going to interpret the laws, we go through all that. And one of the sources that we can rely on to interpret the law is the scholars, like the professors and all these things that help us with interpret the laws. And we have the Supreme Court who will review our rules and decide if it's right or wrong. So it's almost the same as you, but our judicial precedent is coming like the late thing in the hierarchy.
Judge Guevara?
Bueno. Gracias.
Thank you. In the Dominican Republic, the Constitutional Court, it is the supreme interpreter because it's the organ that encloses the Constitution. The Court obviously has the limitations of the Constitution, but it appeals methods of interpretations that are used by other courts. Obviously, in the case of the Constitutional Court, for the very first time in the Dominican Republic, it was established, or it is established, that a decision that comes from a court, it is linked, or it becomes a precedent, or is binding to other courts. In the law, which is in the French law, which is the mother law, the expression that has precedence, it just only means a reference, to which it psychologically is not bind or is not spiritually bind to the magistrate. We all know that the president sometimes, you know, he forces in the Dominican Republic. We have received the president's system so we may maintain the unity within the constitutional system. Why? Because the control system constitutional in the Dominican Republic is mixed. In some ways, it does exist the European area that they control the constitutional by the European area, but then that particular center control, it comes from the constitutional area. But on the other hand, any other court in the Dominican Republic may know of the unconstitutional law when it produces as something that goes through a process. So let's say, so Dominican Republic also has a system that is called diffuse, that it happened in the United States due to the celebration of case Mercury Madison in 1983. So because all the courts are constitutional in the Dominican Republic, so the person gave the constitutional court that they may be the closing matter. But it doesn't mean that a constitutional court or a judge in the constitutional has limits or has limitation, but it comes from the constitution itself.
We have other questions. You didn't come all this way to sit. Well, let me ask my own question while you're still thinking. I was very interested as I listened to your presentations and thought about my own responsibilities as a judge, and thought about the topic of tension between religious and other human rights that I'd like to ask, and I think our panelists have touched on this just a little bit, but I'd like to go back to it. That is, what are the sources of religious rights in your countries, and what are the sources of human rights? And are they, we've talked a little bit about hierarchy of laws. Is there tension between human rights and religious rights in your countries, in part because of the sources of those rights?
Shall I start?
Yes, please.
In my country, the only thing that we have been challenged is the lack of the provision in the Constitution that says what are the treaties and the human rights conventions hierarchy in our system. And this is the most important thing. When we want to rule in a case, we should go through everything and be sure that we are ruling in a correct way. So the Supreme Court said you can apply the treaties and conventions of human rights when it has been published in the Gazette first, and then it shouldn't be on the contrary of what is in our laws. And this will give us like a hint that, okay, when there's no rules in our laws from the conventions and human rights treaties, then we can't apply those treaties. And this is the problem. There's many treaties and conventions should be in our published in our Gazette first, and then we can apply it. If we don't have them, then we can't apply. And this is the one of the tensions, I think.
Thank you. Judge Guevara? Yeah, I'll repeat the question. As we are talking about tension, the tensions between religious rights and other human rights, one of the questions that occurs to me as a judge is, what are the sources of human rights? In other words, what are the sources of law of human rights? And does that present opportunities for tension between religious rights, which may be of constitutional or legislative dimension?
Confieso que yo cometí un error porque yo estaba escuchando todo en francés y entonces no hubo traducción en francés de la pregunta suya. Un error mío, debía haberlo tenido en español. Pero tensiones entre derechos humanos y libertad religiosa. Bueno, yo le decía hace un momento, en el caso de la corte nuestra, no hemos tenido esa experiencia. Eso eventualmente podría producirse. Y en ese caso, nosotros tendríamos que analizar la situación puntual para expresar cuál sería la opinión del tribunal en caso de tensión. Porque no soy de los que se siente a gusto con un planteamiento general de tensión entre religión y derechos humanos. Si uno parte de la base, en el caso mío, de que el derecho natural está en la base misma de la Declaración Universal de los Derechos del Hombre. René Cassin, que fue el inspirador principal y el redactor principal de esa declaración, tenía muy clara en sus convicciones filosóficas, porque de esto no se puede separar las convicciones filosóficas y ideológicas de los redactores. Había una relación, indudablemente, entre el derecho natural y los derechos del hombre. Y, bueno, uno puede irse a los Estados Unidos, ¿verdad?, y decir que todos los hombres nacen iguales y permanecen iguales. Es decir, eso es parte de la dignidad intrínseca del hombre, que en mi caso viene de que el hombre y la mujer fueron creados a imagen y semejanza del Señor. Bueno, pero ese es un criterio mío, ¿verdad? Pero lo que quiero decir es que en el caso del Tribunal Constitucional Dominicano, cuando se presenten esas tensiones, tendremos que, es un tribunal plural, tiene 13 miembros, tendremos que reflexionar sobre los casos puntuales. Repito que para mí es muy difícil, como juez, pensar en términos generales sin dejar traslucir las inclinaciones ideológicas o filosóficas o religiosas que yo tengo y a las cuales obviamente tengo derecho.
We have time for, I see two hands, we'll have time for two quick questions. We'll start here and then here, second question. And I think that will probably complete our session.
I don't think I need this.
Yeah, we'll need it for the translators, please.
All right. Oh, that's right. Sorry, guys. So just kind of looking over, both of your countries are still suffering from human rights abuses. In Jordan, freedom of press is kind of an issue. In Dominican Republic, there's kind of an issue with women and girl abuses, along with police beatings and killings. So as both of your countries have these standards that you have set for yourselves, but the country themselves are lagging behind, what do each of your respective countries need to do to reach that standard that has been set forth by your respective constitutions?
In Jordan, we have signed many conventions and treaties, especially with the women human rights and child rights and everything. But still we have to modify some of our constitution articles about how to merge these treaties and conventions in our legal system so the judges will just go through everything and apply it without feeling afraid of the appellate court or the Supreme Court to overrule the decisions. In application, Jordan is one of the most improved country and applying human rights in every dimension you can imagine, and maybe you should pay a visit. And I think this is the only thing that I can suggest in this case. Just modify some of the constitutional articles to merge these treaties in our laws.
Thank you, Judge.
When it comes to the Dominican Republic, we need a law of freedom of religion. It is necessary, it's very urgent. So there might be a development from the beginning of the conscience of liberty and religion that has been consecrated in the Constitution of the Dominican Republic. We have advanced, we have improved, but we still have quite a road to go by. In our country, there is a huge feeling as far as religion goes. statistics, they show that on 11% of the people, they have no affiliation to a religion. That is the last survey that we did in relation to that in 2006, the one that I have. Even though there are some other statistics from the evangelistical area from 2007 that it says that evangelists, they represent the 17 and 20% of the people. But we have a community of about 350 Jewish that they live in Santo Domingo. There is a rabbi and there's two synagogues. And there is another synagogue in Sudua, which is in Puerto Plata. And we have about 800 Islams and the people that come, you know, from the outside. And there is some Buddhists that are coming from India. So there is a whole diversity, and that diversity itself, it has to be recognized and expressed in a particular statue among the religions and the states to the margin from the agreement that regulates the relationship between the Catholic Church and the Dominican states. Me, myself, I have been promoting for many, many years the necessity, before even I was a judge, the necessity of this particular law, of this particular statute. Last time that I talked about this was back in 2010, published in an incident that happened, and that I was asking for that particular statue when it comes to the liberty of conscience and also the horizontal or vertically, the people of God that they are congregated in many different religions, they need this.
We have time for one last question.
Judge, I note regarding, is a follow-up to the earlier answer you gave, regarding apostasy. Now, it may not be dealt with in your court, but even in the Sharia court, the fact that apostasy is criminalized in the state's law, that does not raise issues for the religious liberty, I mean, and the right to religious freedom. How does the Sharia court deal with it to square it with the right to religious freedom, which is embodied in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights?
First of all, my specialty is not Sharia court. I'm so sorry. I didn't study Sharia court's laws and how they apply it. But from what is applied in Jordan, the one who converts from Islam is the biggest issue in Jordan, and I think in the whole Islamic world, because Sharia doesn't give this right for Muslims to convert from Islam. I don't know how they will put these things in human rights to give these people the right to convert from Islam. Hopefully they will do something to just minimize these effects of converting from Islam to other religions, because they will have big penalties from the Sharia courts, such as taking out their rights of custody of their children and their possessions. And these are like very vital things for everybody. So hopefully they will change something, make it easier for other people to believe in their faiths and convert whatever they want.
We have come to the end of our hour. We thank you for your presence, and we thank very much our panelists and their presentations. Please join me in thanking them.